Well, coming up on today's show, Panasonic look to Tesla for profits, FedEx expands its EV fleet by 1,000 vehicles, and an industry group ask Congress not to extend the EV tax credits. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. In fact, wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily. It is Wednesday, 21st of November, 2018. My name is Martin Lee. Thank you for listening today. I've been through every EV story I can find online, picked out the best ones that I think you'll get the most value from, and they are here on today's show. Hello to any new listeners to the podcast. I always figure, with many thousands of people now listening every day, there must be someone every day that's new. If this is your first time, welcome along. We've all bunched up a bit. Well, thank you very much to myev.com. Great website. They helped me make this show, and they've been my partners for a long time on this podcast. And they are pretty new themselves as well, actually. They have been building the world's first EV marketplace for buying, selling, learning, and researching all about electric vehicles and only EVs. Well, a quick mention before we get into the EV news today, but it's regarding SpaceX and Elon Musk, so I thought you would like to hear about it. Elon Musk has been tweeting about Starship. That's the new name for the BFR. Elon Musk says, "I'm renaming BFR to Starship." Technically, two parts. Starship is the spaceship upper stage, and Super Heavy is the rocket booster that's needed to escape Earth's deep gravity well. Not needed for other planets or moons. So, BFR is no more, and Starship is the somewhat more safe-for-work version. B stands for big, R stands for rocket, and the F in the middle, well, that was never child-friendly, so to speak. Starship is a little more politically correct. Let's say that. Let's get on to the car news today then. We'll start with a couple of battery stories. It's a little Tesla heavy today, if I'm honest with you, but I've tried to prioritise other stories over the last couple of days, so I don't mind going a bit deep into Tesla some days. First of all, we'll start with their partner Panasonic, and they look to Tesla for profits amongst a sea of EV makers that aren't making too much money at the moment. Profitability isn't just an issue for the car makers, but the battery makers too. Much fanfare and fuss, in equal measure, was made about Tesla's announcement of profitability recently, but the largest cost of an EV is always the battery. So how do the likes of Samsung, LG Chem, SK Innovation, CATL, over in China, and indeed Panasonic do? Well, according to a new Nikkei article, Panasonic say that Tesla is just about the only place it can secure solid profitability in car batteries. And they say Panasonic tends to enjoy a healthier margin on the high-capacity batteries that it supplies for Teslas than on products designed for cheaper hybrids, for instance. Well, Panasonic has also hit the gas on its partnership with Toyota Motor Company. The two companies have found success working together on hybrid batteries and said last December they were looking to cooperate further in the field, primarily on high-capacity products for electric vehicles. I must confess, I didn't know off the top of my head who else Panasonic supplies. Clearly Toyota for their hybrids, one of them. Tesla, easily the most high-profile customer for the Panasonic batteries. And of course, with Gigafactory 1 in Sparks, Nevada, where Panasonic make the cells hand-in-hand with Tesla, really working much more closely than any other simple battery contract supplier. Tesla has the building, and they work with Panasonic on cell design, but it's the Japanese who then take the lead on manufacturing them. Well, this news follows a couple of things. Firstly, Tesla's CTO, JB Straubel, was talking a little while ago about the need for cells and battery packs and saying that they have other options. I'm paraphrasing, and I forget when it was. Maybe it was the earnings call, Q3 earnings. And then in an Elon tweet, he said this, and I quote, "Tesla will manufacture all battery modules and packs at the Chinese Gigafactory, as we do today, in California and Nevada. Cell production will be sourced locally, most likely from several companies, including Panasonic, in order to meet demand in a timely manner." So that suggests to me that Panasonic are kind of on the limit at the moment of how much cell production they can deliver to Tesla. They're scaling quickly. I know they've got big plans for the Gigafactory one. Let's face it, plenty of land to expand into as well. However, with Tesla looking to increase the rate of Model 3, China this year and next year. The Chinese plans get underway. Not sure exactly how much of the cars are going to be built in China, but certainly finished off. Enough to qualify for the phrase built in China, which is what you need to avoid those new import tariffs. And then, of course, the job next is the European Gigafactory, wherever that may be. And so maybe if Panasonic can't quite scale at the same rate, well, there we go, confirmation that Tesla will be sourcing cells for the first time from others. It's a partnership which has delivered both the scale that's needed and the low costs. A new UBS report today says that the Gigafactory batteries coming out of Nevada are actually 20% cheaper than any others on the market, the next cheapest being LG Chem. In terms of cost, UBS have the Panasonic Tesla batteries leading the way. Sorry, the cells at cell level, not the finished battery packs, at $111 per kilowatt hour. And bearing in mind, in just a few years, that's come down from $1,000 per kilowatt hour. The rate of improvement on battery packs, which, like I say, is the most expensive bit of any EV, the rate that those costs are coming down is just incredible. Then it's LG Chem, then it's Samsung, and finally CATL are at the bottom of the UBS report at $148 per kilowatt hour. Now, those are UBS calculations, and with recent deals with companies like Volkswagen seeking battery supply contracts in the billions of dollars with companies mentioned there, you can be sure that they are paying the best possible competitive prices. I doubt UBS have complete insight into all of those most recent deals, so I'll just give a little note of caution on that one, by the way, that the UBS data might not be absolutely bang on. I think maybe $148 per kilowatt hour for CATL is maybe a little high just from the things that I've read over the last year. But that's their figures. I'll put a full link to the article in the show notes for you. Excellent news with FedEx expanding their EV fleet with 1,000 electric vans. FedEx adding 1,000 electric delivery vehicles to their fleet made by Change. Do I say it like that? C-H-A-N-J-E. Change? Change? Changer? I don't know. Do you know how I pronounce that? It's spelt the same as change, but with a J, not a G. Well, FedEx is purchasing, to begin with, 100 of the vehicles from Change Energy. Then they're going to lease 900 more from Ryder. The purpose-built EVs will be operated by the FedEx Express part of the company for commercial and residential pickup and delivery services in the United States to begin with. The vehicles are actually made in Hangzhou in China and purchased through Change Energy, the company's subsidiary for its global business. Well, Ryder is then going to provide support services for the vehicles. The electric vans can do 150 miles when fully charged and have the potential to help FedEx save 2,000 gallons of fuel and avoid 20 tons of emissions per vehicle per year. Now, the maximum cargo capacity is around 6,000 pounds. All of the EVs are going to be operated in California. FedEx has been using all-electric vehicles as part of its pickup and delivery fleet actually since 2009, and their fleet managers and fleet services have been learning as they go. Now another 1,000 vehicles being added. This area of EVs, by the way, doesn't get all of the attention because the sexy cars get all of the sexy attention, and things like Porsches and Mercedes, EQCs and Audis and Teslas. However, the commercial vehicle side of EVs is really fascinating to me, and it's happening at such a quick rate as well. Another 1,000 vehicles now for FedEx, but this is happening all over the world, and it's happening in big Chinese cities, by the way, in terms of the numbers are in the tens of thousands for commercial vehicles, things like buses and lorries, trucks, whatever you decide to call them. The Tesla semi-truck is somewhat of a poster child for electrification of commercial transport. But when you go a couple of sizes down in terms of the segment, so things like vans, last mile deliveries, there's a lot of heat there, a lot of action being done. And that's fantastic because, as I always say, and this is actually the first time I heard this was a while ago with Tony Sieber, who always talks about it not necessarily being the amount of EVs, but the amount of EV miles. When you think about those commercial vehicles, and I'll keep on saying it, I'd rather have one commercial vehicle that's going to do 1 million miles in its lifetime converted to EV than 10 cars, because those commercial vehicles normally running on stinky diesel, Normally, the emissions are pretty bad on those, and if you can get one of those two EVs in a city in the next year or two, you can do more quicker for air quality. And we know that cars will be coming. It's inevitable now. The floodgates are about to open. It's the commercial side that I think makes a really big difference to the air we breathe in our towns and cities. Well, hello to our friends over at the Oil and Gas Journal. Now, I'm guessing that they disagree with you and I on several fundamental issues, and that's okay. We can still be friends with them. We just disagree on certain things at the Oil and Gas Journal. The American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, the American Petroleum Institute, and three other national trade associations have now officially asked Republican leaders, as of yesterday, not to extend or expand the federal tax credit for EVs during the rest of this session of the US Congress. They say that we encourage the House and Senate to build on tax reform and not take a step backward by expanding the EV tax credit this Congress. That's according to the groups which also included the Petroleum Marketers Association of America, the Society of Independent Gasoline Marketers of America, and the National Association of Convenience Stores, amongst others. Well, even if this new policy has a phase-out year, once it is included as part of tax extenders, it's very likely to be renewed year by year, they say, in a letter to the US Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the House Speaker Paul Ryan. The US EV tax credit, they say, is bad policy because it's a giant transfer to wealthy Americans, according to the Petrochemical Associations. According to the Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation, they say 78% of the individual filers for the tax credit are making at the moment $100,000 a year or more, and they get 83% of the credits. Well, if that's the facts, well, then you can't argue with it. The majority of the tax credits so far have been taken up by, well, we know Tesla has hit their limit of 200,000 cars, and so their tax credits fall. They halve from January, then they halve again halfway through next year. This time next year, they'll be completely phased out. And yes, many people who have been buying Teslas probably do earn more than $100,000 per year. And these tax credits are a way, the way that you do it in the US, different to many other places. For instance, here in the UK, it's just free money off a car. You don't get into our tax implications. But there definitely needs to be a way to incentivize people to try an EV. Now, I don't have the answer, but you and I would probably both agree that once somebody tries an EV and dips their toe in the water, I've never seen a stat on this, but I'm guessing it's tiny. The amount of people who get an electric car and then decide to go back to fossil cars. Never seen any research personally. The number must be in the fractions and fractions of 1%. Surely, why would you go back to driving a fossil if you've had a pure electric car that's better in every possible way? So, we do need to find ways to get people to try electric cars. I don't have the answer, but yeah, probably up until now, it's people who are earning more money that have been blessed with having $7,500 of a tax credit. There's a real war breaking out, by the way, because Tesla and others have formed an alliance to argue for the tax credit. And it's a bit of a lobbying war that's breaking out between the car makers and between what they call like big oil, like the Koch brothers and biofuels, versus the Tesla / GM / Nissan alliance, and amongst others, who are arguing for the tax credit. Tom Randall at Bloomberg says that big oil is deeply concerned about EVs. Understatement of the year. Big oil is deeply concerned about EVs. The change would help permanently establish Tesla if the tax credit stuck around. The first company to reach mass production of EVs, says Tom. More importantly, they fear it would make it easier for Big Auto to lobby to extend the 2022 date even later. They're not wrong on that assumption, says Tom. The solar and wind credits, which are more similar to the Heller Amendment structure, for the EV credit were perennially pushed forward in last-minute budget agreements, hence the PR war that's all of a sudden broken out over this issue. The big oil companies really want the tax credit gone, and the automakers are joining together to then lobby for it to be extended and hopefully giving more people the chance to get inside an EV. Fascinating how that lobbying will work its way out. Really big story today. Time to check in with Inside EVs and the plug-in sales scorecard, which I always love looking at. Mark Kane has been checking up on the Bloomberg Model 3 tracker, and it shows production now of the Model 3, 125,000 Model 3s. Now, the Bloomberg tracker uses a variety of indicators for this, like VIN numbers registered and crowdsourced feedback of who's had their car. In the past, there's been a bit of a lag with Bloomberg Tracker, so it could be even higher than 125,000. Whereas Fred at Electrek has been critical of it in the past and doesn't really hold it in very high regard. So I think, personally, it's a useful indicator to look at. The current production rate is estimated at 4,344 a week. But again, Inside EVs don't know if that's exactly accurate. There's a chance that Tesla could be above 5,000 Model 3s a week by the end of the month. And of course, they've publicly stated they want to be doing 7,000 a week. Either way, having 125,000 Model 3s, give or take, built is an immense achievement. I've been catching up on some Elon tweets. Elon gets busy on Twitter sometimes and just gives us a lot to wade through. Let's start with a note on superchargers. There are 11,400 superchargers. And they are at 1,390 stations around the world and growing. My own personal experience of this is somewhere here in the UK, there's a motorway called the M3, which connects where I live on the south coast of England to London. And halfway up that, well, three quarters of the way up, is a services called Fleet Services. And northbound and southbound, there's a big bank. Northbound, when I was there, there were 12 superchargers, and I think six of them were still in their plastic wrappers. The others were still being, it was 12 or 14, and some of them were already being used. And that is both north and southbound on that motorway, that freeway, as you may call it. And that's my personal experience of Tesla's increased investment only in the last couple of weeks. Well, Elon says that the Tesla supercharger capacity is going to double by the end of the next year. Expect to be within range of 95 to 100% of the population in all their active markets. So if we're now at 11,400 by the end of 2019, that's some Elon maths there of 22,800 superchargers. That would be a massive install rate to double over the next year. He adds, supercharger V3 starts rolling out early next year, will charge much faster. My note on that would be that supercharger V3 was penciled in around this time, then it was pushed back a little bit. Elon mentioned in either a call or an investors meeting that supercharger V3 would be unveiled this year. So whilst he's not saying in his tweet that it won't not be unveiled this year, double negative, that he's saying that it starts rolling out early next year. So I think there's still, if you actually read exactly what he said, there's still a chance that we may see supercharger V3 unveiled this year, but not installed. Early next year is when we'll start to get those. Could be an increased charge speed. I mean, almost certainly an increased charge speed. On one of the calls earlier this year, both Elon and JB were disparaging on manufacturers chasing pure speed, the 350 kilowatt chargers being rolled out in Europe. They say, yeah, we could do it, but actually if you look at the balance of things like the battery pack size that you need in order to take that charge speed and also the C rate and the practicalities, grid connections, how much you really need that, the expense, all those things, they said, look, we think somewhere, it was it around 200 kilowatts, just over, actually, would be a sweet spot. Let's call it that. Again, I'm paraphrasing. So he also says, in a response to a question, we have a lot on our plate, so we either get van gliders. Now, a glider. So a glider is a van that is made by Mercedes, the Mercedes Sprinters, which Elon loves, without a battery, without a powertrain, or without any of the technology, they buy gliders from Mercedes, Sprinter vans, and put their own technology in. Or, he says, we produce them all ourselves and do it later. Not a big difference to total vehicles produced either way. Priority list is this. So there he's talking about the Tesla service vans, which you may know, they don't want everybody to have to go to a service centre. They want to come to you with their Tesla Rangers. And he does like the Mercedes Sprinter vans for that. And he's saying, well, do we buy them as gliders or do we just do our own thing and build our own vans? And he's saying one of them's sooner, but one of them's better. But then he lifts the priority order of what he's working on. And it's this. One, Model Y. Brilliant. No questions. Two, solar roof tiles. Three, the Tesla pickup truck. Four, the semi-truck. Five, the Roadster. So I think the surprising thing in there is the solar roof tiles. People wouldn't be expecting him to say that that is his second biggest priority once he's unveiled Model Y. And a lot of people would put the pickup and the semi the other way around. But Elon's been tweeting more and more recently about the pickup truck and saying to people, there was a tweet earlier this year, tell me what you love. Tell me what you love in the pickup and we'll put it in if it's a great idea. He's really excited about this pickup truck and he's put that as his third priority before the semi. So what could possibly happen maybe is they could unveil, like they unveiled the semi and the new Roadster at the same event, they could do the same. They could do a double event. Here's the Model Y and here's the Tesla pickup. We're going to make Model Y first, then we'll make the pickup. Now, the good thing, I think the good thing about unveiling the pickup, even if it's another 2 years away from when it's launched or 18 months away, is it increases the pressure on all of the other truck makers. Once the truck is made in concept form and they're driving around with it at a big flashy unveiling event, it's in the press, it'll be talked about with I imagine a 200 kilowatt hour battery, and you can run your tools from it. If you're out in the forest and you've got nothing, don't take a generator, plug into your truck. It'll do this many miles, this much torque. It's going to blast every other pickup out of the water. It puts so much pressure on the others to make electric trucks. It starts the conversation. So I really hope they unveil the truck. Then fourth is the semi, fifth is the Roadster. Finally, on Elon tweets, in order of resource priority, he says that list is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, resource priority, but not necessarily production order. It depends on thousands of parts and processes, which are hard and difficult to forecast. So that list of Model Y, solar roof tiles, pickup, semi, Roadster is the priority for resources, but not necessarily the order they'll be made. And two more stories today. The Tesla Semi has scored a big new customer ahead of the electric truck's rollout next year. Albertsons Companies, they're a major American food and drug retailer headquartered in Idaho, has just announced that they're going to add 10 of them to their fleet and start trying out the Semi so that it's service stores in Southern California. According to Inverse, the decision's a big win for Tesla, which is making a bold move into the new market with the launch of the semi-truck. Albertsons Companies have got a total fleet of 1,400 trucks, so it's a pretty small order to begin with, but a successful rollout would encourage larger investments. The semis are going to service Albertsons, Vons, and Pavilion stores as part of their commitment to promote efficient distribution, they say. And finally, British Gas here in the UK today announced a new tariff, and it's of particular interest to EV owners and users. It's a new smart time of use tariff. It's called Green Drive, and it's a dual fuel tariff. So if you've got electricity and gas for your domestic heating, and it's the first of the British Gas propositions. For EV drivers. It's for residential and business customers. It's going to offer cheap electricity overnight. So 12:30 to 7:30 for you to charge your car. Earlier this year, the parent company of British Gas, it's called Centrica, they invested in a company called Drives, D-R-I-I-V-Z, Drives. And that offers what they call end-to-end solutions, software solutions for EV charging. Demonstrates that all these big energy companies are making acquisitions in the EV space, and EVs represent a growing market for energy suppliers and others have launched tariffs in the last year. According to the latest estimates, there are about 200,000 EVs on the road now in the UK, and that'll grow to 1.4 million by 2025 by some estimates. I think that'll be sooner. I was talking to someone today, actually, funnily enough, about energy companies making investments in EV companies. And I was saying to him, they haven't even scratched the surface. Well, thank you very much to myev.com for setting this week's question of the week. I love this question. Since most dealers today aren't really up to speed, and there are some exceptions if you follow people in this country, in the UK, like Will Adams, he is always really active on Twitter, on socials, helping people out with advice, and then in return, he's selling a lot of Renault Zoes, for instance. Most dealers, though, aren't very educated in EVs. Don't really want to sell them, to be honest with you. What would you prefer? A dealer network that is up to speed or trying something new, like a car being brought to your house or workplace and people showing you how to use it, operate it, but in return for the convenience, there is a small charge. What do you think? You can email the show, hello@evnewsdaily.com, and you can leave your feedback on the website at myev.com. Click on research at the top of the page, and then click on question of the week, and you can leave yours and see everybody else's. Thank you very much to 120 patrons of the show. They've gone to patreon.com/evnewsdaily, and whether it's at $5 a month, the posh coffee level, as we call it, or $10 a month to be an executive producer to get extra content, and what we call the extra posh coffee level. Thank you very much. Whatever you are thinking about going to patreon.com/evnewsdaily and just checking out what it's all about. There are 302 previous episodes online for free. If you could possibly leave a little rating and review, it really helps out. If you want to hit the subscribe button, it means you get the show first and free and automatically every single day, 7 days a week. And we're on the socials at Facebook, LinkedIn and Twitter. If you search EV News Daily, you'll find me. In the meantime, have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.